Stage door.
That's right, we've unlocked the stage door and are bringing in some of our local lovers of the theatre. Jonathan Siklos is the chairman of the Dubai Drama Group. Liz Hadaway is from theatrical events company Constellation, which runs Short and Sweet Dubai Theatre Festival. And we also have Gotham Goenka, who is the co-founder of The Junction. Welcome, everybody.
Hey.
Hello there.
So we start today with a little bit of news, and Danny's got a news story for us to discuss.
Yeah, I've been picking out just a couple of theatre-related news articles that have cropped up on my feed over the last few days here. And one here about Audible, which has apparently announced a new fund to commission audio plays from emerging playwrights. Now, it's announced a $5 million fund, so that translates to about 18 million dirhams, to commission new works from rising playwrights. Now, the solo or duo plays will begin to be available later this year, and the advisory board of Audible decided granting recipients will be made up of actors, playwrights, and many different kinds of directors, artistic directors as well. But just wanted to get your thoughts on this one, and your thoughts on kind of Audible kind of books as well, and whether you see plays being able to be translated properly to that kind of audio kind of segment in a sense.
Yeah, a big fan of Audible, of the content they put out, and I think this is a fantastic idea. I've done a few radio plays in the past, and it's great fun, and it can work well. Many ordinary plays are suitable for radio. They take a little bit of adapting. There are some conditions you have to think about. You can't, of course, have dead air in the same way that you can't when you're presenting a radio program. But otherwise, a lot of plays are adaptable. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Has it been anything that you've ever been involved in, your sense? Have you done anything similar, like, for example, a radio show, which has been obviously a play which has gone out on air?
I've done a few radio plays in the UK, and I think that the UK does radio plays fantastically well. Radio 4 does as well. I would like to see something done more in Dubai about that, because I think it's a fantastic medium.
There was an initiative a few years ago to try and start up radio plays, and I was involved with one, but it never saw the light of day. I mean, we rehearsed for it, and then the channel that was putting it up pulled out, so weren't able to put it up.
I mean, one of the nice things about it is that the rehearsal time is so much less than it would be to put a play on stage, and so it's actually quite light in terms of demand. You get a group of people together, and you have a few rehearsals, and then you just go for it.
And the ones which I really enjoyed were the classic Sherlock Holmes ones. I mean, I've heard all of them; they are fantastic. The ones from the 30s and the 40s, I assume, was the period where they came on for the first time. It was superb.
I once saw a behind the scenes program on how they make these, and I loved that a lot of the actors were involved in the sound effects. Mm. So there'd be a man standing there delivering his lines, and he's holding all these different instruments, and it would be just like
nicely done. My hair.
Yeah, very good.
There's like clicking sound, and and they're doing all these, and they were just so eloquent. And I just thought, this is a whole different kind of theatre, right?
And does that mean in itself as well that there's certain genres which are more applicable and will work better on it as well, do you think?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think, as Jonathan said, I think you can adapt. You can take a theatrical play and adapt it to the radio form, although, of course, some plays are written for the medium of an audible presentation. But I think that this is something which we could definitely do in Dubai, maybe on stage door. We could do it.
An idea for you guys.
Imagine the content, though. We could have something Dubai-based. There's so many different characters or people that you see in your everyday that you could have, we could...
The settings as well.
Absolutely, and encouraging new writing as well.
That's the key thing. That's what stood out for me with this. It's a grant which is for young writers, for upcoming playwrights as well, which anything which is going to encourage people to get involved can only surely be a good thing on that one. Just another story that I came across as well. Last night, apparently the Royal Opera House in London was evacuated because of a fire alarm, and it was evacuated mid-performance. So the performance from the comic opera Les Elysiers des Amours gathered outside the Bow Street venue in full costumes at around 8:30 yesterday evening, alongside members of the audience. Now, the theatre said the interruption was a false alarm, so no harm was done, fortunately. That is first and foremost the most important thing there. But it got me thinking, What do you do in that kind of situation? Especially because, I mean, there's pictures here I've got in front of me where the cast members are alongside the audience. And in a sense, is that not kind of breaking character in a way? Or you just got to go safety first, just get out there and that's it? Do you have anything in mind? Safety first,
definitely. But the question is, did they break character, of course, or did they not?
That is a great question. Do you have any kind of rules, any sets of, you know, if this happens, this is what we do at all? Have you ever had that when you've been involved in a production?
Well, it is extremely unfortunate because I suspect that they did have to break character to exit the building in a safe way and then congregate where they're meant to congregate and follow all the rules. It's extremely unfortunate. I mean, a sort of rule of thumb or even a gold of rule of theatre is you don't let the audience see you when you're out of character. So before the production starts, for example, you'd never be milling around the foyer in your costume, and afterwards, you should change before you leave the theatre and greet the audience. So it is really, it's rather unfortunate.
But I've seen an incident happen. I mean, early on, when the Junction started up, literally in the first week, we had a show going on where somebody from the electricity board came and switched off the entire power for the entire avenue.
Super creepy.
We had a show in progress, and all the lights, the AC, every electrical equipment went off mid-show.
Was it a horror?
No, it was actually an Ibsen play. And the best part that I've seen in Dubai is the show still went on.
Yeah.
Wow.
They kept performing in the dark. And for the first time, I actually saw every audience member take out their telephone and switch on the light and give light to the stage. And the performance went on for the next 5 minutes till somebody was able to run over to the main switchboard, involve them and get the lights back on.
Yeah, I've seen something similar in a rehearsal, in fact, a dress rehearsal, not in a performance. So the last rehearsal before the performance is started, and the lights failed again. And it took it about 5 minutes to get them up and running again. But the actors, they knew exactly what they were doing. They were very well versed. They were professional. And they kept going. They just kept going in pitch dark.
Absolutely. And another incident that had happened a few years ago when I was directing A Few Good Men, in one of the afternoon shows, the lights in the theater froze. They just got hung.
Mm.
And that means we couldn't go to blackout when the scene went off, and we couldn't go to blackout lights up when the scenes came back on. And the actors still went on. The stagehands came on stage in full light, set up the next scene, went off, and the show went on.
Yeah, I think generally
the show must go on, but obviously in an example like you were given, I mean, this is different, and of course there is safety first.
Absolutely, safety first.
Well, the show did go on afterwards as well, because apparently they were outside for a few minutes, but then went back inside after everything was cleared, it was all safe to go back in. So my question now, it's not in the article, unfortunately, is how do they restart the shows? And would you remember exactly where you were at the time and restart from there? Do you start the scene again? I mean, what kind of, what would you think would be the best way to go about doing this?
I mean, I would start from, you know, basically where you left off. I mean, as long as all the audience were in at that time and were observing, yeah. I think as close to the moment as possible.
On the line, I would say. I mean, get everybody in position, lights down, and then lights up and go.
So those are two stories that Danny's been following today. Jonathan, you've got one for us as well that you've been looking at from the theatre world.
Yeah, a couple of interesting plays that are our reactions to the Trump presidency, which I found quite interesting. There's a couple, in fact. So one was a Central Park production of Julius Caesar, which I suppose wasn't implicitly about the Trump administration, but the actor playing Trump bore a strong resemblance
actor
to the president,
Julius Caesar,
and all the Julius Caesar supporters. All the Julius Caesar supporters were wearing red caps. Mark Anthony, in fact, was played by a woman wearing a red jumpsuit. Calpurnia, Caesar's wife, had an Eastern European accent. So, I mean, the resemblances were very, very obvious. So this is one production that was in Central Park that I noticed. There's another one which was a one night only show which was put on both for one night in New York and in London, called All the President's Men with a question mark, in which Alec Baldwin was playing Rex Tillerson, not his Saturday Night Live persona as Donald Trump, but Rex Tillerson, and Ellen Burstyn was playing Elizabeth Warren. But I mean, more than anything else, I wanted to get your guys' sense of this, because I mean, this I think is rather lazy and unimaginative theatre. I mean, it's not in the sort of grand tradition of theatre, you know, being a sort of check on politics or satirising politics. It is just a straight steal from what rather bizarre political events, and lacking in imagination, I think.
Possibly it's quite an easy one, but then again, you are being given so much material on a plate. Why wouldn't you take it in some ways, you know? I mean, sure, maybe lacking in imagination, but there's so much there.
Fair point.
I'd agree with Liz on this one. I mean, it is easy to go to. It's a straightforward, interpretation, and I think it works. So if people liked it. So let's see those productions and see what happened.
So that's the story that Jonathan's been looking at. Liz, you've also been watching something happening in the UK about someone being too innovative.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I've been looking at this for some time. I mean, Emma Rice at the Globe has sort of jumped before she was pushed, I think, having only been appointed in 2016. As the artistic director of the Globe. And basically, the traditionalists are up in arms that she has been doing things in the Globe which are less than traditional. She has added lights and she has mic'd some of the actors.
Shock.
And sound. And she has been sort of putting on shows that are breaking the tradition of Shakespeare's Globe. And yes, they have not been happy with that at all. And myself, I mean, we do, as Constellation, we do each year a Shakespeare production. And we are very much looking at how to modernise things, how to use the words of Shakespeare, of course, but how to actually modernise this, how to bring this into the 21st century to make it more accessible to an audience. And interestingly, Emma Rice's audience figures are up. So the audiences like it, but the board does not.
I mean, I imagine you, Liz, you yourself must feel pretty sore about this, given your interpretations of Shakespeare and your modernisations of Shakespeare.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's quite close to my heart. So, and I think she's been doing a fantastic job. I was watching her work at Knee High before that. I think she's really innovative and cutting edge. And I think it's what the Globe needs. It's a breath of fresh air, but apparently not.
Stage Door.
Jonathan Siklas is the chairman of Dubai Drama Group. Liz Hadaway is from the theatrical events company Constellation, which runs the Short and Sweet Dubai Theatre Festival. And we also have Gautam Goenka, is the co-founder of The Junction. Before the break, we were looking at some news stories from around the world, from the theatre world. And now we want to look, because we've sort of just finished a season, so we want to look back and say, what worked? Now, we know a lot of things work, but I've challenged you guys to choose one thing each that you feel really, really worked this season. Goenka, Gautam, we're starting with you.
Sure. For me, the one thing that worked this season, and we saw more and more theatre groups do it, has been original plays. So we're starting to see more plays that are written by Dubai-based playwrights, and that's been going up. So, you know, if I just think back at the plays that did well this year with original scripts, How's That, which was written by Alex Brun and Asad Raza Khan, Burke and Hare, written by Sean O'Sullivan, Blacklight, which DDG and Jonathan's group did, written by Cliff Single.
And we've got a real range of stuff there, right? I mean,
yeah.
How's That is set in Dubai.
Yeah, was set in Dubai and did two different runs this season and did quite well in both runs.
Whereas Burke and Hare is kind of a historical, kind of a period piece set in Scotland about two Irish immigrants to Scotland who are satisfying. their story is that they are satisfying the need of medical science for bodies initially by digging up cadavers, but then ultimately by cutting out the middleman and offing people and selling them to medical science. So, I mean, this is based on a true story, very strongly based on a true story, but dramatised by Sean O'Sullivan, a local playwright.
And what's the reception been like to these kind of these new shows, these new plays over here? Has it been a more positive reception, I suppose?
It has been. If I take both Burke and Hare and How's That, both of which happened at the Junction, How's That actually had two separate runs. So they actually came in December 2016 and did their first run, and they were successful enough that people wanted them back. And they did a second run where they got more audiences in the second run. And Burke and Hare also did their run somewhere in December and also did quite well. They had a pretty good run. Jonathan can comment on Blacklight.
Yeah, I mean, there's a real tendency towards original content. Audiences really, really like it. But another thing that gives you that extra level of that appeals to audiences is where something is set in Dubai or related to Dubai, Dubai in some way. So How's That, for example, is set in Dubai.
Yeah.
Blacklight is sort of, well, Blacklight was an evening of nine short plays that Dubai Drama Group put on a couple of weeks ago. And that is sort of, some of it is vaguely set in Dubai. Somewhere is set in a sort of, you know, dystopian outer space, basically. It's very unusual type of theatre. But the fact that a lot of them were obviously based in Dubai and had Dubai-type characters gave it a real pull.
Absolutely.
Okay, so new shows is your choice then, Gotham. Liz, what about yourself? What do you think worked really well this season?
Just to add to that for a moment, what I think is the major difference there as well is the fact that these are full-length productions, because new writing has been promoted in Dubai for a long time by the Junction, by Short and Sweet, by DDG. I mean, each year in terms of Short and Sweet, we have about 40 to 50 plays that are written locally in addition to international plays. So I think that it's more of the development of the full-length plays in particular in that light that Gotham is talking about.
Absolutely.
However, from my point of view, I think the thing that has worked best for us has to be Macbeth, just simply because it's the first time that we have taken this on tour. So this was done not only in Dubai, but also in Abu Dhabi and Ajman, and will be done in Sharjah as well. So it's sort of across the Emirates. So a production that can actually go on tour around the UAE is something I think quite novel for this region. And it worked. We sold out in Abu Dhabi. We sold out in Dubai. We're going to do another run in Dubai as well, because we have a very large waiting list. So it really worked.
And what was the reception like there as well? Was there a greater appreciation for the work there? Because I'm presuming, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm presuming there's less options for people, for fans of the theatre in places like Ajman. So when you get a production like that going along, there's a greater vibe for it, in a sense, a greater sense of excitement for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that there are fewer opportunities, absolutely. And we were really helped by the Ministry of Culture and Knowledge Development as well, and they promoted it. So we got a lot of Emiratis coming, as well as the usual expat crowd, which was fantastic to see.
That's great. And Jonathan?
And this is, when are you reviving it? Because this is a play that is predominantly outside. It's going to be a very sweaty summer production if it's in the next few weeks.
It will be in the winter season.
Sensible.
What would you say then, Jonathan? Was there something that worked well this season? What's your one pick?
Yeah, I think the evening of short plays, Black Light, would probably be a favourite of ours. But it has been a good season in general. We did a five-hander version of Hamlet a couple of months back, which we were very pleased with. It exceeded our expectations. Our expectations for a lot of the rehearsal period were, well, I don't want to say low, but it was very difficult indeed. So there was just five actors playing all of the 22 roles in Hamlet. It was a lot of work. It was very challenging indeed. And it's one of those ones where we were rehearsing for a long time and it only really came together in the last, well, I don't want to say few days, last few weeks, let's say.
I heard you talking about that. I remember I was driving my car a little while back and I just thought, Who are the people behind these sort of, do they have jobs as well? Is this something that, because I'm just thinking this is very, very challenging to be able to, you know, take this on. Are they doing this on a full-time basis? Who are the people that we are seeing on stage?
None of the five people in that were working on it full-time. Everybody else had jobs, and so it was a very long and demanding rehearsal period. It was a rehearsal period of 4 or 5 months.
And Jonathan, to the point that was made earlier, a majority of the actors, I'd like to say about 95% of the actors based over here, are not full-time actors. They are holding a job, they're doing something else, and then they act on the side.
The majority, but not all.
We
That's
why I said 95.
We do have professional actors,
yeah.
And also, I mean, for our productions, we had actors fly in from the States, from the UK, and also from Canada, but generally.
I suppose it speaks really the volume of passion in that case, then, to have a full-time job and then to be able to go and spend that much time rehearsing as well. Just speaks volumes about what you can see here and what you can expect, and you're getting really dedicated people being part of this as well.
Stage Door.
Okay, so continuing our conversation then with Jonathan, with Liz and with Gotham as well. So we've just discussed the season just gone and what you felt went well there, but the new season will be here in no time at all. So what have we got to look forward to? And let's start off with yourself, Liz.
Well, we start off quite soon. In August, we open the call for entries for the next 10-minute play festival. So it's a six-month process, basically. It happens each year from January to March, but everything kicks off in August. So the call for entries opens for writers, for actors, for directors. So that could be experienced professionals who have been doing this for years, and it could be someone trying it out for the very first time. As I said, we encourage new writing as well. So that's the first thing coming up for us.
So if I wanted to put a play in and I wanted to take this from absolute inception to being on stage, when would I have to put pen to paper?
When
would I have to start thinking about it?
Why not start thinking about it now, Jonathan? But as I said, the Call Frenches starts in August and closes towards the end of October to then give the directors a chance to pick up the scripts and then auditions at the end of November and then to cast the plays to start rehearsals for the January to March season.
Okay, so how do people get in touch with you then? How do they submit the scripts themselves?
The scripts are submitted online. If you want to know more information right here, right now, you could email us at info@constellationdubai.com. But you will be able to submit the scripts in August online.
Okay, and what about yourself, Jonathan? What have you got to look forward to in the new season?
Yeah, so the first three plays of the season are nailed down. Straight after the summer, we're going to be doing Love, Loss and What I Wore, which is a play for six women about relationships and clothes. In October, the next month, we're going to be doing Educating Rita, which is a two-hander. It's set in the UK and is about a somewhat jaded university professor and the relationship he strikes up with a young woman who has been working as a hairdresser but is rather dissatisfied with her lot and how they each grow and develop together. And then in December, we are going to be doing another original full-length play called The Trucial Statesman, which is set in Dubai in 1954, August 1954, and follows the first expats that lived in Dubai. So it was the first eight or nine Brits that moved to Dubai, and we get to see the conditions that they had to endure, really, back then, however many years, 60 years ago, and see how that contrasts with our lives today.
And I'm really looking forward to that one. It's been in the pipeline for a while. It sounds really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Who's behind this?
So this is written by a guy called Mark Osborne, who has been living here for 20 or 30 years, and as well as a long-term resident of Dubai. He's also a bit of a local historian. He's interested in Dubai's history and its culture, and has written this play, which has roles for English actors, or I should say actors who can play English and Emiratis, and a Jordanian role as well. So it's a real mix.
Have you cast all the characters for everything for this?
We haven't cast for anything. Auditions will be coming up after the summer.
Interesting.
Okay, same question again then. How do people get involved in that one?
Find us on our Facebook page, Dubai Drama Group's Facebook page.
How do you go about choosing what you're going to do? Do you guys get together as chairman of the group? You summon everybody together and you have a vote. How do you go about what you're going to do?
Yes, it is more or less as you say. Yes, we have a monthly committee meeting, and we discuss at the meeting sort of upcoming matters. I mean, usually what is going on over the next sort of few weeks and months, and then what's going to go on later on in the season. Basically, we have a committee of eight people, the Dubai Drama Group committee, and we decide what is going to be put on. It effectively needs someone to come to us with an idea. For the most part, someone will say, I want to direct this play, or I want to produce this play, or I've written this play and would you guys like to put it on,
or I'd like to be in this.
Well, there's quite a lot of there's a bit too
I'd
much
like
of
to
that
be
actually
in that
there's a lot of there's a lot of actors in Dubai who want their bucket list roles and so
yes.
I mean that's a quite a small component of most plays.
Correct.
What is rather thinner on the ground is a capable director or production team. And so if someone comes to us as a director or a producer, says that they really have a burning desire to do something, we're much more likely to take that on than one actor saying, I want to reprise Rocky or something.
It doesn't really surprise me, actually, the production side of things, that would be where you'd be looking for more help, more involvement in that one. Mm-hmm. Would you take people on board who maybe just wanting to get a head start, to get a start in the industry, maybe getting involved for the first time? The options for newcomers as well?
Yeah, very much. I mean, particularly on the production side. I mean, you really just need a cool head. You need to be well organized. You need to be reliable. And everything, it's just about the organizational ability and everything else the group would support with.
But I think it's really important for an actor as well to gain that experience too, to be able to see both sides of it. I think you are a much better actor if you've actually been involved in the production side of it as well and seen what's involved, and that goes for a director too.
I remember because I went to theatre school, so I'm no expert or anything like that. I'll say that first. But I remember there was this key line that when we were doing backstage work, right, because you had to start backstage, was the cherry picker. And the cherry picker was what we had. They called it the cherry. I have no idea why, but it's sort of a prop that's on wheels that kind of had different levels to it. So you could kind of put your, I don't know, Phantom of the Opera higher up or whatever it may be. And there was always the director going, cherry picker slide. And it always had, you always had to slide the cherry pick in. So, and it was really important because you couldn't have a tree sort of moving. I know this is very low grade what we're talking
it
about.
Sounds quite sophisticated to me. Go on.
You can't have a tree moving while, you know, Macbeth is delivering a very key. So it is important as well to, but it's also fun. It's great to be backstage. There's so much energy.
But to Jonathan's point, it is not the cool and the sexy side of theatre. And so not a lot of people like or think about that area first. And to Jonathan's point, that's exactly what we do as well. We, you know, we look for capable directors and capable producers because those are difficult to find.
So what would you say to encourage people then to get involved? Like you say, it's not the cool side of things. Maybe you're not going to be the star of the show, but what are the benefits that you get from being part of the team?
It's incredibly rewarding, and you get the same backstage atmosphere as all of the atmospheres. As all of the actors. There's nothing quite like the atmosphere before a show, and you get that out of it, and you get to be part of the team.
I also think that as you get involved in backstage, as you start directing, as you're a producer, you don't have a lot of the control, but you're really the person who makes things happen. But on the final show, what the audience sees is the actor that goes up and acts. But everything that goes around in the periphery is done by the director or the producer. And so it is incredibly, to Jonathan's point, again, rewarding.
Yeah,
that people get involved.
I mean, it's very, very important. I've certainly been helped out in the past when I've been on stage by an excellent stage crew who've set everything up absolutely perfectly. Everything's where you need to find it. Things are there when you go backstage to fetch them. And on the other hand, I've also been tripped up when things haven't quite gone to plan. I mean, just one thing that pops into my head is a production of The Importance of Being Earnest where I have to eat on stage, which is a sort of personal horror of mine when I'm feeling nerves having to eat something on stage. And in this instance, I had to eat these cucumber sandwiches, which had been prepared too soon before the curtain went up, left in the draft of the air conditioning and totally dried out. And so I put one in my mouth. It stuck to the roof of my mouth.
Oh,
and I could barely speak for the next on stage for the next half an hour, and I could barely speak. So, you know, this is an example, you know, small example of where things can go really horribly wrong with just a little detail.
The committee needs to get together to talk about a chef or something for the Dubai Drama Group. So that we've talked about what the Dubai Drama Group have coming up when the new season starts. We've talked about Short and Sweet, the Dubai Theatre Festival. Gautam, what's happening at the Junction?
So quite a bit happening at the Junction. I think we can also talk about the first three plays that'll open up the season. In September, we have Reginald Rose's 12 Angry Men. So that's going to open up the season, directed by Chandni Verma. Then we've got Wesley Newfarmer bringing us complete works of Shakespeare Abridged, which is a comedy, and he's got a slight twist to it. So he's going to be doing it with three women.
It's not too innovative, is it? Because that apparently can't really happen with
the Junction accepts innovative. We accept innovative.
We're in Dubai.
We're in Dubai.
And all female Shakespeare is the rage.
Yes. Is the rage.
Absolutely.
Everyone's doing it.
Absolutely. And then finally, at the end of October, we've got Julius Caesar. So that's going
to
be coming up.
Plenty to look forward to then. So what's your mindset at the moment then over the next few weeks? Which, do you really have much time off, or is it all about the preparation at the moment?
No, it's about taking some time off and relaxing.
It's about going to Italy. That's what the next few weeks are
about. Travel.
Really, I must be doing something wrong because I feel I'm incredibly busy with this at the moment. I mean, I often look forward to the end of the season when, you know, the sort of chaos of the last few shows is out of the way. But then as soon as they're out of the way, I'm thinking, crikey, we need to get stuff in the diary for next season.
No, absolutely. I mean, you need to plan the new season, of course.
For the Junction, it's getting all the stuff ready. You know, it's getting the getting the theatre back into shape. We need to do a bit of patchwork with painting and all that. That's going to happen. We've got the awards night coming up, so the Junction Awards are coming up. We're preparing full swing for that, and then looking forward to the summer.
And over the summer as well, any plans? Are you going anywhere in particular and taking in any plays, anything already organised? Do you actually base your holidays around what you can see or not? So am I picturing you in a slightly overzealous way?
Somewhat. I'm going to a storytelling festival in Italy. But every time I go to London, it's just sort of like, how much can I possibly fit in? It's like sometimes as a matinee, it's like I can see two things in one day. That's super exciting.
And Jonathan, yourself, same thing?
Yeah, I will be in London for a week. I've got a couple of things lined up. Don't ask me what they are. I won't remember. But yeah, I tend to book in advance when I'm going to London.
And Gotham, yeah. You're too busy with awards, aren't you?
We've got the awards. And after that, I'm traveling into India. So I'm going to try and catch something local over there. So.
Jonathan Siklas is the chairman of the Dubai Drama Group. Liz Hadaway is from the theatrical events company Constellation, which runs Short and Sweet Dubai Theatre Festival. And Gautam Goenka, I hope I've said that correctly today.
Perfectly.
Thank you, as the co-founder of The Junction. Thank you, everybody, for coming in today.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.